to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and built the house of the Lord God of Israel.
For he is the God which is in Jerusalem. And whoso remaineth in any place, whether he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver and with gold, with goods and with beasts, beside the freewill offering. Brother, that's where we get beside the tithes. This is, we've got people going to tear down. Hey, they're going to rebuild a wall that was broke. They're going to rebuild a house. Well, guess what? Hey, we're going to get in some quick numbers here in a little bit. Hey, but 70% of this globe, this little globe I've got set up right here, 70% of the planet that we're living on does not associate with Jesus Christ. 70%, and I'm talking about that 30, that includes Catholics and some Mormons and Jehovah's Witness, sums that we can even break it down, but guys, the wall has fell down. The temple is broken, not just in here. The temple is broken in Europe. The temple is broken in Asia. The temple is broken in Africa. And the temple is broken in South Lebanon. Hey, well, the answer is, if you're willing to go, let him go. I know it may, you know, it may not be normal, but you know what? The church me and Tina grew up in would not be uncommon to watch people surrender their lives to preach, to be a pastor, to be an evangelist, but it also would not be uncommon to surrender to a mission field. Why? Because there's lost and dying people all around the world going to hell. We keep reading here and in verse 4, and whosoever remaineth in any place, whether he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with the silver, with gold, with goods, and with beasts, besides the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests and the Levites, with all them whose spirit God had raised. Why we focus on that little spot, the spirit that God had raised. We're asking you, seek God's face on how much it would be. We're saying, well, I can't give. Hey, we're not asking you to give. We're asking you to seek God's face and see if the Spirit will raise up, Christian, something that you would want to put in. And then verse 6, he says, and all that that were about them strengthened their hands with vessels and of silver and gold, with goods and with beasts, and with precious things besides all that was willingly offered. So that's going to be about all we got to say on the faith promise. That was about as fast as I could spit it out. But you know what? Hey, we've got a lost and dying world, and we've got to reach them. Why? Because the Lord told us we have to. You know, I could get over here, and I believe it's in the second paragraph. You know, we say, man, you're bringing something new in here. I ain't bringing nothing new in here. And she's hanging right over here about the furtherance of the gospel. Hey, you know, we talk about ordinances, and we get that here. I got the definition for an ordinance. Hey, and that ordinance right here is a rule established by authority and a permanent rule of action. We come across this in the communion, and sometimes we just like to say, well, God only left us two, and I believe he left the church. Hey, the baptism, I believe he left them the communion, but I believe he also told us to go into all the world. Hey, this isn't nothing new, Brother Josh. I'm not offering strange fire this morning. Hey, we've got a church covenant that said furtherance of the gospel, and we've got a Bible that says go. So if you would, just bear with me for just a second. If you guys would like to turn to Luke chapter 10, that's where we'll be taking our text. It's going to take me a few minutes to get there. I'd like to leave you just with some stats, and then we'll just go ahead and get into the message. We'll worship the Lord and a little bit of truth right here, and then we'll let the Spirit speak. Hey, but I'd just like to leave you just with a few just numbers. Brother Brian, some people are numbers people. Being a sales guy, man, the numbers are what it comes down to. Some people are numbers. Hey, but if you are a numbers person, man, this got me. Just a few facts. I'd like to talk first about the world. You know, I got my globe here. You know, I was able to talk to Levi. Where's Levi at? I asked Levi. We were down there at the Ark. Man, they had a big map. Levi, what happens to this guy when he dies? What about if I spin it a little bit? Let's get over here. What about Indy? What happens to this guy? So when they die, this guy goes, he's in the same city. Well, what about America? Let me find Ohio. What happens to that guy? Does everybody see that? I know it's simple. I know it's simple, but it's the same answer. What happens to that guy when he dies? He goes to hell. The problem is we put ourselves to sleep and we've forgotten what hell is, and we've thought that it's just about us. And once we start putting some numbers to that globe, y'all give me about 5 minutes and we'll get back to the King James. Hey, found some things out here. Hey, according to Google, tried to verify Brother Kenny several different times because you can get any answer you want. Hey, but Google tells me as of October 29 on the United Nations World Census that there's 7.7 billion people living inside of this world. I'm going to start out big and we're going to get to South Lebanon. Y'all bear with me. But it's all connected. Why? Because we all have the same option. Hey, you either go to heaven or you go to hell. I don't care if you grew up in South Lebanon in the state of Ohio or whether you grew up, hey, worshiping me and Brother Don ran across this Hindu, walked in the door. He's got a big gold elephant with four arms, cross-legged, with candles burning in front of it. Hey, Brother Brian, they still go to hell it doesn't matter. Hey, we cannot send the missionary or we can send the missionary. If we don't send the man, they die and go to hell. Hey, but if we send them, we got a shot of them here in Jesus. Hey, then maybe they won't. But we're talking about not just 7.7 billion, and we just say people. I'd like the church to understand these are 7.7 souls. There's a stat that comes down to it. You know, we'll get in a second, but the United States, man, we love ourselves. We love ourselves and our stats. We love ourselves, USA. I could look at Caleb and get a USA chant right now. We love it, but guess what? We're only 4% of this world population. We think that God's calendar runs through America. We think the King James Bible runs through America. We think the Bible timeline is the United States of America. We're 4%. Everybody, I'd like everybody to get your head on it. We're only 4. That means 96% of the world is outside of our borders. But the same Savior died for all of them. We forget it. We think it's just us. He just died for the white man. Man, we get, hey, we got those Anglo-Catholic, those roots, and man, we love our skin. Guess what? Hey, he died for all of us. He died he saw me, but he saw a whole lot more people than me. I think as Paul says, I'm indebted to this globe. Why? I'm indebted to the Jew, the Greek, the barbarian, the learned, the unlearned. Why? Because I've got a present that I received that God wants to give to these people. Get some more stats, and we'll keep moving on here. Hey, of this 7.7 billion, 2.3 billion are practicing some form of Christianity. This could be Catholicism, Baptist, Pentecostal, Church of God, Jehovah's Witness, Muslim, Mormon, could be any of those. What does that mean? 29%. That means we've got 70% of this globe and this world that we're living on is not following a religion that even resembles Jesus Christ. Church, we've got some work to do. Why? Because the Lord told us to go. I'm going to keep going. Not going to weary us, but I thought this was interesting. Was 125 million are registered Baptists. You know, we like to go ahead, you know, we're standing on the truth. We got our doctrine. Brother Josh, that's less than 2%. Less than 2% of the world that we're living in right now would share our faith, would share our views of this scripture. I think we've got some work to do, church. 2%. Hey, we understand that there's some other forms. We know our Pentecostal brothers, our Church of God brothers. Hey, our Mormons and our Methodists and Presbyterians, as long as they're preaching Jesus Christ, as long as they're preaching the blood, but we only know for sure that 2% of the Baptists are doing it. Church, we got some work to do. Won't weary us, so I'm going to focus a little more. The United States of America. Got some stats on that. August 2019, they tell us that 329 people live in the United States. This is a stat that we want to just celebrate, and everything sounds good, because out of 329 million, 240 million claim in the United States that they're Christians. I don't know if anybody ran into any of those, but I would say that we definitely will not say that we have this estimated 240 million. What do we have? Deceived people. We've got deceived people across the ocean. We've got deceived people in the United States of America. Why do we need missionaries to go overseas? Because they're deceived people overseas. But why do we need missionaries in the United States of America? Because there's deceived people in the United States of America. Got some other stats of this 240 million. Hey, 15% of this population, 50 million claim to be Baptist in the United States. Say, man, hey, we like that. Well, England's a pretty good stronghold. We got a lot of that Baptist tradition from them. Hey, through the scripture, we're going to keep reading. Also, we got the state of Ohio. I know I'm giving these fast because I'm not trying to bore you or waterlog you, but I think these numbers need to sink in at some point. State of Ohio here, there's an estimated 11.7 million souls in our state. When we talk about missions, do we need to be foreign? Yes. Do we need to be United States? But how about our region? How about our state? We've got 11.7 million. Hey, guess what? According to the internet, 73% of Ohio is Christian. According to the internet, now, if we had an Ohio state population where 73% of them were blood-bought children of God that was on fire for the Lord, I'm not sure if we'd have just now made abortion illegal. I'm not trying to throw stones, but I'm just wondering if some of these rules, hey, a lot of these, South Lebanon used to be a dry town. I remember as a whole kid, you wouldn't run into no beer bottles up here at the store. I'm wondering if 73% of Ohio and 73% of South Lebanon was a Christian, man, well, we really have voted alcohol and liquor sales inside. Hey, why does that mean? Hey, we need some help in our region. Hey, I got another stat here. Warren County, there's an estimated 228,859. Now, that's a pretty exact estimate. But you know what? We got almost over a quarter of a million people in Warren County. Now, I may have lost you when we're talking about Brazil and Papua New Guinea, but I'm talking about Warren County. Well over a quarter of a million souls that have a guarantee. Hey, we may never see them. There's a good percentage I'm going to run into somebody from Warren County. There's a good percentage I'm going to run into somebody. There's a percentage, but there is a 100% chance that over a quarter of a million people born in Warren County are going to stand before God. There's a 100% chance. What are we going to do to get the gospel to them? Say, but wait a second. We've heard the story. We don't like foreign missions. Well, I'm going to get even a little closer to home. According to Google, hey, there's 4,600 people in South Lebanon. 4,600 people in South Lebanon alone. What does our church hold? 250, 220? Say, wait a second. What? I see some empty pew rows, not just seats. I see some rows with nobody in them. Church, it's time to wake up. It's time to get involved. Say, you got Bible verses on any of that? Absolutely. Hey, what about reaching the world as we're sitting here? I'm not trying to hear about the world. Well, Jesus wanted us to hear about the world because in Mark 6, 15 through 16, and he said unto them, go ye unto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Hey, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Hey, there's a belief that has crept into the church that says if we just don't go and we just don't tell them, hey, they won't be held accountable. Hey, that's a lie. Yep. That was crafted in the pits of hell. Yep. And it's been a spell. Hey, what our good brother from Philadelphia would say, that's a spell from hell that's been cast onto the church people. Yep. Why? But why must they? So, but wait a second. Our Church of Christ likes to say you have to be baptized to be a part of it. Let me just tell you, if you're preaching the gospel unto the world, hey, when you're going into a spot, hey, where my brothers and sisters are being tortured for saying that they got saved and mom and dad would kick the child out, Jesus says they got to be saved and baptized. What is baptism? A public display of an inward change. Why did he say? He didn't say they must be baptized because that was a contention. He said, hey, they're not going to be shameful believers. They're not going to be closet professors. They're going to be saved and baptized because they're going to show that pagan town that they're living in that they chose to follow Christ. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. And we have brothers and sisters right now that are in fear for their life. Hey, well, we got brothers and sisters in North Korea, and there's Christians that's going into South Korea, and they're trying to get the, I shared it on Facebook, I got 2 likes. Hey, if I'd have shared a puppy, hey, that was blowing bubbles, I'd have probably got 1 million. Hey, if I'd have showed a lesbian who was a man dressed up like a woman doing a backflip in a parade, I probably got 700 likes. Hey, but if there was 2 likes, hey, and there might be more or hopefully, hey, but what were they doing? They took the Gospel of John, they put it on a helium balloon, they filled it up, and they found out when the jet stream was going to be blowing across the country, and Christians are going in South Korea to throw a balloon up because hopefully the jet stream will knock it down and our brothers in North Korea will be able to hear the Word of God, and the preacher of preachers, Jesus Christ, will preach to them through the reading of His Word. Guys, we're blessed in the United States. We're blessed here. But this population, hey, they're not going to hear unless we go. And we love those. Hey, how can they hear? You know, guess what? We got to send that preacher. Got some more verses here. Say, that's just the world. Well, Jesus just kind of bumped our, you know, He just burst in our bubble about when we're not supposed to go out there. Hey, what about the United States? 2 Corinthians 10, 15 through 17 says, not boasting of these things without our measure, that is of other man's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our role abundantly to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. We're supposed to go to the world, but Brother Eddie, we're supposed to go to the regions that are around us. And he says, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand, but that glorieth, let him glorieth in the Lord. When we go here, Brother Josh, we're not building up man. We're glorying in the Lord. We're not serving another man. We're serving the Lord through that. Last verse I had here was Luke chapter 24. This is 45 through 47. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus is it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And we leave that verse right there when we quote it. But there's a colon, and then there's some more here. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. Young people, teenagers, we're not just joining a club. We're not just coming here to Mount Zion Baptist Church and have us a business meeting and raise hands and put hands down. Hey, that's so all things can be done in decent and order. Hey, but the Lord says it behooved Christ that He should suffer. Done. It behooved Him. He said, I have to go to the cross. I have to die and I have to raise again. But then He says, I've done this because repentance and remission of sins has to be preached. Has to be preached. He says, do it in His name amongst all nations. Has everybody got Luke chapter 10? All right, we're going to be getting in the Word here. Well, I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up by just saying, we look at this globe. Christian, where does the person who just died right here, where does he go? He's going to have to go to heaven or hell. When we forget that's our job, when we forget the Lord said, go, hey, we're in trouble. Hey, when I've used this analogy over and over to my kids. Hey, had a Cocker Spaniel. Man, that thing was the most energetic dog ever seen. Hey, he was the one in the whole litter. The rest of them wanted to lay around and just be lazy sack of bones all day long, but not him. You know, did a little research, and they said Springer Spaniels and Cocker Spaniels was the same dog, but sometimes they was born with energy, and you separated those, and they become the Springers, because when Brother Eddie would take them bird hunting, they'd be the ones that had the energy to jump up over top, hey, them big old Wisconsin bushes that he goes to. Hey, what the Cockers do? Well, they didn't like to jump, so they just like to sit around. So you know what I had, Brian? I had a dog that wasn't doing what he was created for. And man, he just went into depression, and he'd be whining all the time, and what'd I have to do? And I had to put that dog on a treadmill, Brother Josh, because he wasn't doing what he was meant to do, so things were starting to happen, and I had to get him a purpose and get that energy out. Just like to tell this church one time before we switch gears here, hey, the church was made to go. When we look at every parable of heaven, I told my Sunday school class, hey, what is heaven almost always referred to as? God the Father being the head of the plantation or the farm or the kingdom. And what did the workers do? They had to work. They had to go out. We've got to share. Say, wait a second, our church congregation ain't growing, hey, the way we want to. Must be the pastor's fault. Man, I'm wondering if the congregation has the heart to do what they're supposed to do. I'm wondering if, just as that song says, if the preachers keep preaching, the singers keep singing, the layman, see, we forget that we're all laymen. We forget that every single one of us is charged with the task of preaching the gospel. But I'd just like to ask us, church, hey, would we consider being on Mission Sunday? Hey, would we just consider, hey, that these people are dying and going to hell? That being said, we're going to get into the message. Here in Luke chapter 10, we're going to give you what the Lord has given us. Man, we're going to get out the way. Luke chapter 10, I'm going to start reading here in verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. I kind of think it's a little odd here, but maybe it's right on spot. Hey, that here's a man that comes to the Lord. Why did we come to church this morning? We wanted to hear a word from the Lord. Hey, why did we come? But Brother Don, I see here that this man came, asked his question, and he got his answer. But see, that wasn't the answer he wanted to hear. Hey, well, I'm wondering how many of us came here this morning with what we already had preconceived with how church was going to go. Brother so-and-so is going to get up there and sing my favorite song. Sister so-and-so is going to sing my favorite song. Hey, we're going to go ahead and the preacher is going to entertain me just the way I want to. Say, maybe some of us are saying, I use this expression, and I'm not trying to make anybody mad, but I want to put the Holy Ghost flashlight on some things. Hey, well, I said, you know, maybe set me got some people came in here and said, man, there's James. I guess I already wasted a trip. I guess I'll sit here because I don't want nobody to see me leave. Hey, but I just wanted the pastor to come so he could entertain me, and if he gets good and fired up, he'll give me one of these. Because we love it when the pastor, maybe he'll give us a whoop. Hey, but I'm wondering how many times do we come to the church, we come to the feet of the Savior, and we ask a question that we already got our answer to, and we don't even care what Jesus is saying. But that's what happened here. He said, what is that written in the law? How readest thou? Man, I bet his head got real big when he says, well, Brother Brian, when Jesus says, how do you read it? You know, it doesn't matter how I read it. It matters what does it say. Then he keeps going. And he answering, he said, thou shalt love him, gave his answer. And then Jesus said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. Christian, we come here, we get the answer we want to hear. We go home. But then he wants to keep talking. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? I'm wondering how many people, hey, I'm not trying to throw down or be mean or get tough, Brother Eddie, but I wonder how many people don't understand that this person who lives right here is my neighbor. This person who lives right here is my neighbor. This person who lives right here is my neighbor. This person who lives right here is my neighbor. Hey, but the Lord says you got to love the Lord your God and you got to love your neighbor. But if I can be a lawyer and I can narrow down who my neighbor is, I get out. That's what this man was trying to do. As missions are presented, which this isn't a church that you get bludgeoned with missions, you don't get your head beat down. But pastor, it's easy for us to just say, well, that's easy, they're not my neighbor. Hey, that person's not my neighbor. Guys, this is the Lord's answer to him. What is this religion? How do you find this peace with God? You got to love him and you got to love other people. Hey, what does John say? We know that we pass from death unto life. Why? Because we love the brethren. Hey, but those brethren are not just United Baptist, Independent Baptist, Fundamental Baptist, Missionary Baptist. Hey, this is the brethren. But keep reading. Don't want to stove somebody up. But he willing to justify himself. I'd just like to ask you this morning, please, don't try to justify yourself. Hey, this word goes back and it means to justify, man, to elevate, to put myself up. But then Jesus says, okay, we got to do some teaching time. He says here in verse 30, and Jesus answering him said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell amongst thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. As we see here, Jesus sees an answer. But just like we talked in Sunday school, Christian, let's not let this parable, let's not let this biblical truth just be a story. Let's let it sink in this morning. Here's a certain man. He's traveling. He gets beat up. He gets his clothes took off of him. Here he is on the side of the road. And Jesus is answering the question, who's my neighbor? Jesus might have changed the subject, but he's coming back home. And he says here, by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, at the place, came and looked on him, and he passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him, and he bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and he set him on his own beast, and he brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and he gave them to the host, and he said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. What are we talking? What is the moral? What is the crux of what we're getting to this morning? And the answer is to go and do thou likewise. Now we got to look and see what happened before we can understand what to do and what not to do. And this is going to go real fast. Hey, this goes up real fast, y'all. Y'all just keep with me here. Hey, we get here and we see a certain man. Hey, he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Young people, he was in Jerusalem and he left to Jericho. Jericho had a curse upon it. Hey, Joshua said, this place shall not be rebuilt. And the one who rebuilds the wall of it, that man, there's going to be a curse on his head. He's going to mourn. Hey, he's going to have his youngest child there, his oldest when he starts. By the time that youngest one gets there, he's going to have some hard times. Hey, young people, what happened? This guy found himself. He was in the house of the Lord. He was in the city where he was supposed to, but he wanted to leave it, and he goes to Jericho. And then he gets there, and he gets beat up. He gets left for dead. Wonder how many young people, how many adults we have, hey, that's left God's city and left God's house to travel out to places that they shouldn't be. And we could just say, that's what you get. Man, we could tell India, man, y'all want to worship a bunch of six-legged elephants and a bunch of horned demons. That's what you get. You get hell. And we can do that as Christians. Man, we can throw that rock. Hey, but you want to, all you Muslims out there want to worship all these. Hey, yeah, that's what a Muslim gets. Yeah, a Muslim, go to hell. That's what. Hey, you want to blow up our towers? Go to hell. Church, that's not our answer. Our church is to love our neighbor. Hey, whether we want to love them or not. But this guy found himself in a spot. But then he said, by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. What is that? Hey, Pastor, that's Jesus preaching straight at us. Hey, Brother Eddie, hey, that's church leadership right there. He said the church came down and they saw him on the side of the road. He was beat up. He was bloody. There was nothing that was anything good to him. And they passed by on the other side. Wonder how many times, whether it be in South Lebanon, hey, we've got drunks falling down in the ditch. Hey, we've got heroin addicts going like crazy. And what do? We blind eye on our way to the church house. Hey, we don't look on how are we going to reach them. How are we going to get them? Jesus said, get off your donkey and get in the ditch. But we passed the other side. Preachers, church leadership, it starts here. Not a coincidence, the priest was the first one to get preached on. Then he goes down, and here's another one. By chance, 31, and by chance, there came down the priest, 32, and likewise, means the same, which means by chance. What were they doing? What's by chance? That means wandering around aimlessly. There was no vision. Hey, the people were perishing. There was no goal. There was no set mark. There was no, this is what we're going to do. Hey, why are we going to the front row right now, leadership of the church? Jesus says we cannot be walking around by chance. We have to have a coordinated vision. Then he comes down and likewise a Levite. Who's the Levite? That's the rest of us. That's the church people. Hey, that's the ones working in the temple, getting in and out. Brian, that's the ones supposed to be doing stuff for the Lord, supposed to be working in God's house, but instead, somehow they're going to Jericho too. Man, we could be church people throwing rocks at the people going to Jericho. We're on the same trail they are. Hey, we're wandering around by chance. He says here, likewise, this Levite, hey, when he was at that place, he came and he looked on him and he passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. See, this Samaritan was journeying. When you journey, you know what you have? A start and a finish. Isn't it kind of funny how God's people and God's men in this situation were running around by chance? Young people, you can't run by chance in your life. You need to have a goal. Hey, I'm either going to college or I'm not. Bottom line is I'm getting a job somewhere. Where should it be? Okay, now that I'm working on how I'm going to feed and clothe myself, what am I going to do with this Jesus I found at church camp? What am I going to do with this Jesus I accidentally fell into? And now I signed up in something that's bigger than myself, but I still don't have a destination in my life. Hey, it's not of the Lord, young people, for you guys to not have a plan for your life. You can't call yourself to preach. You can't call yourself to be a deacon. Hey, but you can call yourself, hey, to be led of the Lord, to have a vision in your life and know where you're going. Because if not, I'm just going to tell you, young people, we got enough of church members that don't have a clue how they got here this morning and are wandering around by chance, and we don't need no more. Church people, where are we going this morning? Where's our vision? Is the Lord ordering our steps? Because the Bible says, hey, that this good man, his steps are ordained by the Lord. Young people, if we don't have a vision, we're going to see them broke down and we're going to pass to the other side more backslid than the one in the ditch. But this Samaritan, this half-breed, this half-Assyrian, half-Hebrew, who had a bunch of reasons not to like a Jew, broke down. Hey, this guy who had reasons on why he could say, that's what you get. Hey, how? Where's your father Jacob now? He loves me more than he does you. That ain't what he did. Hey, what'd he do? He went to him. He put him on his own horse, his own donkey. Guy's naked and covered in blood. Who in the world wants to wash that off? Yo, Brother Johnny, all that time you rode all them horses, I don't know if you ever had to wash blood off one, but I'd imagine that's a pretty nasty sight. I'd imagine you wouldn't want a nice white horse out there and put a bloody man on the side of it. That'd probably be a pretty bad mess to clean up. Tell you what, church, if we was as worried about the stains on the carpet as we was as the souls in the street, hey, we might be all right. Hey, if we was as worried about what we look like and we can't mess up our truck, hey, you know what? The pastor had to put me to shame one day. Hey, when the town drunk was out here after vacation Bible school, and I reluctantly was going to give him a ride home, but I knew he was going to tear my seats up. Why? Because he stunk off both ends. Hey, but guess what? The pastor said, hey, let me just put this shirt down, get up on here. I was relieved when the pastor put him up there. Wait a second, James, are you telling on yourself? Absolutely I am. I'm not going to sit here and throw stones and not look in a mirror and say, I didn't want that drunk in my truck. I didn't want him smelling up my car. Hey, but what happened? The Lord had to wear me down and let me know, hey, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'm the drunk on the street. If it wasn't for what God did for me, I'm the one out here. Hey, young people, we're not just telling you a Bible and reading you fairy tales, hey, and giving you a bill of goods. We're giving you something that can clean you up, put you on the road, save your soul, and keep you from the ditch. But we keep going here. Man, we got this guy. Now we got the Samaritan. And I'm closing with this. This certain man went from Jerusalem to Jericho, found himself destroyed. I'm wondering how many of these people that's in the church house this morning said, I didn't come for Mission Sunday. I didn't come to hear some stats. I didn't come to hear a globe where here's good news. Did someone come hurt and busted this morning? Hey, has somebody been traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho and they found themselves in a service? Hey, they didn't ask to get robbed. They didn't ask to have their clothes ripped off of them. I got good news for you. Hey, there's some parallels in here. Hey, what did that guy do? He said, I may not be able to heal him, but I know where we can get the healing done. He picked him up and he put him in there and he gave him two things. He said, I gave him some oil and I gave him some wine. I got good news for you. Hey, if you're broke down this morning, hey, that oil is a representation of the Holy Spirit. Hey, that wine is a representation of the spilt blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary. Say, what are we supposed to do, Tammy? How are we supposed to help them? Hey, the Lord says, I'm going to do all that for you. All I need you to do is go get them. I'm going to be the one to fix them. I'm going to be the one to heal them. I've got the oil. I've got the wine. But I just need some people to get up and get to the ditch and get them to me. We can't save nobody. I know I've testified the Lord's allowed me to lead some people to Christ. And maybe the first time I said that, everybody thought, what in the world is he talking about? All I can do is take their hand and say, you're broke down. You're on the side of the road. You need the Lord, and I can take you to the one that can fix you. Church, I'd like to ask us this morning, man, I got a whole bunch of spots I could go, man. I got James about working and doing and looking yourself. Hey, but I'm asking you, as James does say in that chapter 1, hey, are you just going to be the one that came to church this morning? Listen to what God had to say. Pull your mirror out. Say, man, that was good. And then you put the mirror down and you walk away and you forget, hey, that the Lord challenged you this morning. I'm asking you, not just get up here and sell faith promise. I'm trying to say we've got a lost and dying world we need to get to. But I'm asking you again, if you're here and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, Pastor, I'm getting ready to wrap up. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior this morning, if you found yourself on that road, hey, life didn't turn out the way I wanted it. Hey, I didn't ask to get robbed. The world put me down and beat me up. Hey, maybe you're that person, hey, that says, hey, I was down there and I needed help, and that preacher could have helped me and he didn't, and I'm never going to go to church because that preacher back in 1987, he didn't come to me when I needed him. Or you say maybe in 2024, hey, Brother Don, say, man, me and my family, we needed some food, and them church people didn't help me. Hey, why don't you stop worrying, hey, about the ones that's passing you by? And won't you understand that the Lord is passing by this morning and he's got the oil and the wine with him and he's already shed the blood and all you got to do is just take it. Why would you hold on to being hurt? Why would you hold on to being lost and broke down in that ditch? Hey, when the price has already been paid. You know what he said? Not only, hey, am I going to heal him up? He said, if there's any more bills, I'm going to take care of them. You give them to me. He says, and when I come back, I'll repay you. Hey, thank God that he didn't just save me. He didn't just cleanse me from my sins right there. Hey, makes people uncomfortable. Hey, but he saved me from every sin I was going to sin. He saved me from every ones I'd committed. Hey, the ones I'm going to commit today, they're still under the blood. Hey, there's this doctrine with that. I can't go out there and live whatever I want, because if I'm going to be a priest and I'm going to walk by these fellas in a ditch, hey, I might get whooped when I get home. Hey, but do we understand, church, that we were in that ditch? We were lost. We were going to hell. We needed Jesus Christ to save our souls. But so does that boy in Mexico. So does that boy and that little girl in Papua New Guinea. So does that grandma in India who's been worshiping that cow when she should have been eating it. So does she. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we would be in those situations. I'm just asking us, hey, what the word says, hey, how can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? We have forgotten that salvation is what made the United States of America what it is. We're only 4% of this world. If we turn our backs on Jesus Christ, we'll go back to living in a dunghill. Hey, we'll remember these Native Americans. Man, you know, I've said it. Everybody says it. Everybody in South Lebanon's 164 Cherokee. That's what we say. But do we understand them Cherokees were running around in a bunch of leather underwear, worshiping the rocks and the moon and the sun, and they died and went to hell? Why? A missionary had to come here and tell them about Jesus Christ. That Macedonian call, if it wasn't for that call, hey, Paul would have took his party east and not west, and them Asians would have been sending missionaries to us. Pastor, if you would come. I just ask you, if you're lost this morning, would you please not turn the Lord away? Hey, but I'm asking.